Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are going to hear a rumor one day that Votie Baucham is no more. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Because though I die, I will rise with Christ. It will not be the end of me, because Christ is raised, and I too will be raised with Christ. That is why he is called the firstborn from the dead. Folks, you don't talk about a firstborn unless there's others who are born after him. Don't you pity me. You pity the one who wants to hold on to Jesus without holding on to the resurrection. You pity the one who has absolutely no hope because they have no resurrected Christ.
This is Wretched Radio, and that, of course, is the powerful voice of Dr. Votie Baucham, who walked in rather rarefied air in a panoply of greats, men who proclaimed the truth. And yet, it is my opinion, and of course, my opinion is correct because I'm a talk show host. My opinion is Votie Baucham preached the gospel more than any of them. Now, that doesn't mean that all of the men that we know who are magnificent expositors don't preach the gospel. I'm just saying, the more I watch Votie Baucham, the more I hear him preaching the gospel, the more I hear him proclaiming sin and righteousness and wrath and Jesus dying for sinners, and not just with a drive-by, but in an extended sort of way. And it struck me when we made a video for Dr. Votie Baucham's passing to remember him. Let me share with you that clip from the YouTube video, because I learned after the fact that this little snippet you're about to hear, where Votie unpacks the gospel, and I mean he unpacks it. He doesn't just, hey, I hope you like the gospel. No, he unpacks the gospel. To whom was he preaching? Answer, this was at the Shepherd's Conference. I believe the year was 2022. The room is filled with pastors and elders. And yet,
because of that one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and everyone born from that man through ordinary generation inherited that man's sin nature. And because of that sin nature, sins proceed from it. And our world is broken because of that sin. And we stand guilty before a holy and righteous God. And we know that he's holy, and we know that he's righteous, and we crave justice. But the problem is that if God gives us justice, we all die. And so that God, in his goodness and in his mercy, sent forth his son. And because he's fully God and fully man, he obeys the law of God on our behalf in his active obedience. And then in his passive obedience, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. All we like sheep had gone astray. Each of us had turned to his own way, but God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And Christ died for sin once for all, the just for the unjust. And God, and he nails our sinfulness to the tree. And Christ dies and raises again on the third day for our justification. And there's another imputation. The righteousness of Christ is actually imputed to us, so that God can be both just and the justifier of the one who places faith in Jesus Christ. So that all those who come to Christ may enter in. So that all those who place faith in Christ might be saved. But not only saved, but sanctified. Because he's the firstborn of many brethren. We're justified and we're adopted into the family of God. And we're sanctified. And as his children, we begin to bear the family resemblance. And we're further sanctified throughout this life by the very same gospel that saves us. Until one day when it's all said and done, we're not just saved from the penalty of sin, We're not just saved from the power of sin, but one day we're glorified and saved from the very presence of sin. That's the gospel that we preach. That's the gospel that we need.
To a room full of pastors. Double imputation. Talking about justification. Talking about sanctification, which, by the way, great line. You could swipe that one, Pastor. Increasingly, we bear the family resemblance because we're adopted into the family of God. That's a keeper of a line. Vody Bakum preached the gospel a number of years ago, pushing 20, maybe something like that. We were doing back then. We would pass out DVDs. I think it started out with The Big Question. Then I think we did the Biggest Question. And then I think we even did a third one. The Super Really This Time We Mean It Biggest Question. It was a video presentation of the gospel. And we contacted Vody and asked him if he would be a part of it without hesitation. He said yes. And it wasn't fumbling. It wasn't cloudy. It wasn't like, oh, okay, I kind of see. Oh, okay, I kind of see why Jesus died for sinner. No, you got it. Why? Because Vody, among other things, was a gospel preacher. And I think there's a lesson to be learned. I get it. It can be hard to preach the gospel in a fresh way every single Sunday. But might I suggest you don't need to? You don't need to. I mean, cool. You can wordsmith it. You can use lines instead of calling it sanctification. You increasingly bear the family resemblance. But just give it to us. Just give it to us. This is what we want to hear. Make much of Jesus Christ in your preaching. Dr. Vody Bakum did just that. And now he's enjoying the message that he preached. He knows that what he was preaching is true. But it's a loss, isn't it? And perhaps you're feeling that sting because of the rapid succession of John MacArthur, Charlie Kirk, Vody Bakum. It's feeling like, whoa, what's going on here? And I can't say what's going on, even though I'm a talk show host. And I do have the legal right to do so. I can't say exactly what the Lord is doing, but might I suggest there's something that you and I should consider making an adjustment on. Tweaking, if necessary. There's a tension that I believe exists when we take a look at the life and the legacy of a great like Vody Bakum or John MacArthur, or any of the greats throughout the ages, because when those big guys die, the whole church feels it. At least Bible preaching churches feel it. And we can perhaps think, oh no, there will never be another, but there will. There will. I mean, of course the Lord could decide not to, but there will. Martin Lloyd Jones died. Boink. There comes a John MacArthur. And there's just, it's going to happen. God will replace as he sees fit and raise up others. But when they go, I think that we would do well to wrestle with that tension of appreciating these guys that are in that pantheon of preaching to make sure that our balance is correct, because the tension is we're grateful for them, aren't we? And we don't want to say, you know, that's enough of this celebrity preacher business. Okay, I know each and every one of these guys would reject the term celebrity. In fact, it would make them bristle. Even so, they're very popular, they're very famous. And there were some who would say, well, see, that's the problem with evangelical celebrity culture. These guys, they're too famous, and when they fall, when they sin, or when they die, we just get totally wrecked. I reject that. I say praise God for these guys. Praise God for these large platforms. So I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, and yet simultaneously, we might do well at this time to ask our hearts the question, how are we feeling about the local church and my pastor? How are we feeling about the guy who prepares a sermon for us every week? How am I feeling about the guy who would weep if he heard that I was sick or dying, who would come to my bedside? How am I feeling about the people with whom I assemble every single week and do the one another's? I'm simply making a suggestion because I don't think that we should try to crash the celebrity culture because it's innately sinful. If God raises up somebody, that's a good thing, right? I mean, it's good when somebody watches a sermon clip like the one that you just heard and hundreds of thousands of people hear. They're like, that's good. You go, Lord. Keep raising them up. So I don't want to diss that. But simultaneously, maybe, just maybe at this time, we're all introspective and ask, for me, who's more important, famous preacher or my preacher? The national conference or my local church? I think this might be a good time to ask that question and make adjustments as needed. And I know one who would say, if you can't say ouch, say amen. And that would be Voddie Baucham himself. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group. And they loved the part about love.
Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. No subscription, no credit card. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. And get this. It's all free. Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free. It's powerful. And it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus. At fortisplus.org. You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want the Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free. Because Fortis Plus is free. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is the story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Opinions? He had a few. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Vody Bachum, he knew what he believed, and he was happy to articulate it. And that probably is one of the big reasons so many of us love Dr. Vody Bachum. He just said it. And he said it in a way where it was either eloquently stated, it was poignant, or it was kind of stingy. And he stretched all of us on a number of issues as we together mourn the loss of another giant. This is a trip down memory lane. This was Dr. Vody Bachum. It looks like we were at the G3 conference. And he and I spent some time together. I got to do this a number of times with Vody. He was in studio. By the way, if you want to go watch some Vody, you probably won't find anywhere else. Go watch his expository apologetics, which is available on fortisplus.org. It's free. You can see we've got a bunch of Vody stuff up there because we've crossed paths many times. And it was always... I hate to use this word because it makes it sound so trite when we were talking about big things, but it was always fun. It's just, he was good company. Here he is talking about the Lord's Supper. His opinion, it should be served every week.
In a lot of these conversations, we're talking about the amount of time we have for music and the amount of time we have for preaching. And in a lot of these places, they rarely ever do the Lord's Supper.
Oh, you want to get into that.
Which is something I think we're supposed to be doing every time we gather.
Okay.
We're supposed to be doing that every week. And
we've got a new denomination with this.
We're not making room for that. And it's interesting that that's something that's just very clearly prescribed in the scripture. Very clearly prescribed in the worship of God. And in all of these debates, I mean, we're willing to go to blows over how much time we get for music and how much time we get for preaching, and we can't remember the last time we did the Lord's Supper. That's a problem.
What verse tells you that it has to happen every single time we get together?
There's no verse that tells me that it has to happen every single time that we get together. There's no verse that tells me we have to sing every single time we get together.
Right.
There's no verse that tells me we have to baptize every time that we get together. But when I start looking at the scriptures about what are the elements of worship, it's very clear that that is one of the elements of worship.
He could have cited that. Maybe that's what he was thinking of. Acts 2:42, where we do see what the early church did when they assembled together. And the breaking of bread, it wasn't just a meal. It was communion.
So if we're getting together for worship, and that's one of the elements of worship, let's do it.
But see, in our era, though, the natural tendency in evangelicalism is to the normative principle.
Absolutely.
That sounded very legalistic to some people.
I know.
All right, so I just want to get this clear. We read the Bible, we see the elements that have been contained that God is pleased with.
Yes.
Why would we not want to include those elements in our gathering?
Yes.
So every week, Lord's Supper, if a church isn't doing that, are they sinning?
Yes.
Well then, think it over. And we'll continue.
No. I knew you were going to ask me that. That's all. I just wanted to see the look on your face. That's all. That's all.
He got it. He stretched us, didn't he? Here's another conversation that I had with Vody. Uh-oh, about dancing in church?
This is what I would like to do, Vody. I have some Bible verses on the subject of worship. I am going to read this Bible verse, and you are going to tell me what it means or what it doesn't mean, based on the Bible verse without reading into it.
Do I get to choose? Either to tell you what it means or to tell you what it doesn't.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
All right. Let's do 2 Samuel 6:14. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Go.
When you dance in church, wear linen.
Thanks for making the point. All right. Therefore, David danced in church. Dancing in church is biblical. Huh? Can I use this for a text?
Sure.
So you don't have a problem with dancing in the church?
I do.
But this verse says David danced.
You can use whatever you want to use, right?
All right, well, tell me why.
But first of all, David wasn't in church.
Okay, fair enough.
That's
but
first.
He did it in worship.
David wasn't in church.
He was worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
Very excited about the ark.
He was very excited about the ark.
Yes.
Yes. We don't have an ark.
Well, okay. We don't have a king, but I could do that with any verse.
We don't have it. But what I'm saying is that when we read this, we have to read this text in its historical context.
All right.
In order to understand what's happening here.
Okay.
Right?
So,
because the other thing is this, narrative is not normative.
Correct.
It's a very important principle of exegesis. Narrative is not normative. Just because something happened doesn't mean that it's supposed to happen normatively.
All the time. Could I just let my ADHD out of the box for just a moment? Jimmy, you can't see this video. This is, okay, this is so not worth mentioning, but I'm going to anyway. Because this morning when I got dressed, I went to grab a tie and I grabbed the tie and I went, I'm going to wear this one today because this is the tie that I wore when I was with Vody Bachum at G3. Don't ask me why I remember that, but I did this morning. And now I'm just noticing, well, there I am. And sure enough, I'm wearing, this is my Vody tie right here. Because Vody was a snappy dresser, wasn't he? And he was very high on the regulative principle of worship, that God regulates what happens on a Sunday morning service. Because after all, it's for him. The normative principle says, hey, if the Bible doesn't say you can't, you can. Needless to say, that has the potential. Now, I know that you could say that the regulative principle maybe has a weak flank. I personally don't think it does. But God doesn't say we can't do a lot of stuff. And I think it opens up the door to a lot of the shenanigans we see in churches these days. Somebody sent me a video clip. I don't know what was going on. It was some goofy, like some movie series. I think it was Disney or, and you know, just the latest movie sermon series. Why? Because they don't let God regulate their worship. Back to Vody.
There's shadings on that. You know that. Supposed to versus can.
Yeah.
Happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how's about if I say to you, okay, fine, Vody,
so
I give you your context.
Can a person, can I dance in church? Yes.
I'd kind of like to see that. Would you maybe just humor us and show us a couple of moves? Not a chance.
The look I just got.
Okay. This is actually, let's keep diving on this. So David isn't dancing in church. So I can't say.
So for example.
David for example, danced, I can dance.
Yeah, you can. But that would be more akin to we've excommunicated someone.
It's a good analogy.
We're here at worship. This person we've excommunicated. It was a painful experience for the church. We've been praying for this person. Their life just went to the pit. And God saves them and brings them back.
Right.
And they walk through the doors. There might be a little dancing. That's more akin to what's happening there. An emotional, you know, sort of outburst in response to a circumstance, as opposed to here's how we're going to organize our worship.
Fair enough, but there is explicit and implicit. Yeah. So could I not use this as an implicit text to say, look, it's not a sin to celebrate and worship the Lord through by moving your body?
Sure.
Therefore, this verse still gives me permission to do that. Not commanded.
Not when you went
permission.
To the therefore. Not when you.
Did. Why not?
You were okay to the therefore.
What? Well, how do you apply it?
Because here's the thing.
You know what? It was simultaneously fun and challenging with Vody.
Why do we want to do this? Why do we want to make this a normal activity for us?
I wasn't saying to make it, it's commanded. I'm saying it's this verse gives us permission to express ourselves in joyful worship to the Lord by busting a move.
You could do it.
Not commanded, but it gives me permission.
You could do it.
You're humoring me now, aren't you? You just want to be done with this.
No, you could do it. I'm
okay.
Waiting.
All right. Let's do John 4.
You're not going to do it?
Oh, waiting for me to do it? You got to, you know what? Do something that makes me happy and maybe I'll get down with my bad self.
And that's what he was pretty much like. off the platform too. He's a jovial guy. He's a fun guy. And it came from someplace. It came from the message that he preached so often, and that was the gospel. You could tell he loved preaching the gospel. He loved sharing that Jesus died for sinners, and he did it. Honestly, maybe Paul Washer does it as much. And by the way, this isn't a diss on anybody else. I'm just saying he preached the gospel, and that gospel affected his affections, his emotions, most certainly his will, his motivation for life, and as we all know now, his eternity. Vody Bakum will be missed. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.